time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9. And again, I want to thank our sponsors for allowing us to do these shows. This is kind of a makeup for not having spring sports, and as we lead up to the fall activities, which are now postponed until September as far as game coverage. We'll see how that goes as with the new next meet on the 18th or the 20th?
20th. Yeah, the 24th would be the start date for practices.
So the 18th or the 20th, excuse me, will be 18th? I forgot the date already. You just
told me. The 20th.
The 20th is a KHSA meeting date.
Correct. Woo. For them to get one kind of final say going forward in a sense, and then the 24th would start practices.
Yes, there we go. And I guess the 18th was in my head because that's the next board of education meeting on the 18th here in Powell County. So I had my two meeting dates mixed up in my head. So I do apologize. But again, that is another big thing going on in Powell County, I guess. This is a board meeting on the 18th. They'll get the updates from, I guess, health department and the state to see where the numbers are, whether or not to go ahead with school and, or whether it be paused again. And I guess if it's paused, they could choose online or virtual classes because I heard Governor Beshear today, that the classes that are going virtual, they can go ahead and start. I mean, as of right now, they could start their classes. Although I guess all those folks that are a little bit concerned about school starting, I guess some of those schools are going ahead and start, but they're going to be starting virtually right now.
Yeah, that's a tough situation in many respects because obviously it's an unknown for a lot of educators and teachers. Under those circumstances, what does that really consist of? Yeah. So therefore, am I videoing myself doing a lesson? Is it a through Zoom, situation? Again, how are they constructing that? And I think that, to me, would be a tough position to be in order to create these lesson plans using these virtual, remote learning type situations.
Well, in a perfect world where everybody would have internet access, then Zoom would be an awesome way to do the virtual learning, but we're not in a perfect world. Therefore, it would only be an option for some, not an option for others. Then you have to find another recourse for the other students that you could not be able to do the virtual learning through a Zoom type of classroom. But again, to me, that would be the second best alternate way of learning. But then you go into modules, learning modular learning, or if you're just doing the packets. And I think the school has, or this school system, in my opinion, the way I hear things is trying to get it away as much as they can from the packets versus more online or more stuff that's going to be available to the students, which is a better way of learning. Again, remember, folks, last year we were shut down kind of unexpectedly, and it was kind of about you're flying by the seat of your pants on how to do this, and you had to do what you had to do in a quick turnaround time. This time, teachers have had 5 months to plan for this if there was another pause, and I think most teachers are kind of ready. If it is postponed and they are going virtual, I think most teachers are ready for that.
I think the fact that we've all been forced to start using new technologies, mm-hmm. If anything, at least gives us, if we've learned anything, we've at least learned there are other ways to communicate.
Yes.
And other means of conducting meetings and whatever it might be. At the same time, the fact that we don't have a lot of families that have internet, I can't get internet where I live. I mean, I'm lucky to even have a cell phone to have a conversation, to be honest with you. And obviously there's different pockets around the county along those lines. So therefore, potentially those that are choosing that remote learning, how is that even being conducted? I understand, like, the district and or districts, you know, are looking to get Chromebooks, things like that, into the hands of students in order to use that. But yet, if I don't have internet, it's not going to do me any good under those circumstances mm-hmm. to be able to get that remote learning, to have access to those files, the Google Docs, whatever it might be, in order to conduct that business. So on one hand, that's unfortunate. And at the same time, you can only have so many students in a classroom anyway due to the social distancing. So, you know, I mean, some parents choosing to stay home, okay, well, that bodes well for those because you might have less numbers and get to that ideal number, let's say, of 10 kids in a classroom based on distancing. So that's okay. But then now 6 weeks later, the district is saying that you can change, you can switch after the 6 weeks. Well, now all of a sudden, what if you have those that are remote learning saying, yeah, it's not quite working out.
I'm coming back.
Yeah, I'm coming back, but nobody leaves in the classroom. Now, what are you kind of doing to those kids that are being incorporated? And at the same time, you've already gone through all your procedures, everything that's happening. Now you're having new students coming in. Now I'm having to address those issues with the new students, how we're walking down the hallway or going to the bathroom mm-hmm. or whatever, masking up, you know, when you can mask and unmask, those kind of things. It's going to be a very challenging circumstance for sure.
It is. And I think the numbers will merit whether or not, this is August the 5th. By August the 20th or the 18th, by the board meeting, they're going to have enough information to make a decision based on the next week, which is where, I mean, we're just talking about the Powell County school systems here. But I think all schools are in the same boat. I think everybody's kind of that third week in August, per the governor's request, as far as in-person learning. Then you have a decision to make whether or not you think it's safe to come back to school. We saw the superintendent, I guess, was Jessamine County, who I think the board wanted to start with in-person classes, but he overruled the board and chose to start the first 6 weeks virtual because of an uptick in cases in Jessamine County. And I would have to say this for that superintendent, kudos. Because if your information tells you it's not safe for your students or your staff to go back into the schools, you should probably stay virtual like he did. And I think that was a good decision, maybe not take pressure maybe from the board and the people, and do what's right for the kids and the staff. And I think that superintendent, against the wishes of his board, and may cost him his job at some point, but I think he probably made the right call as far as to postpone in-person classes and go with the 6 weeks of virtual first. I'm not saying that's what we should do, because I think, again, it's a little bit too early. If your board meeting was the 10th, okay, that's early. But your board meeting is the 18th. You're going to have a better handle on information coming in on how the cases, how it's trending. And as Governor Beshear said today, if it stays the same as it is right now, he would advise to push it back. But if you're in a Powell County situation, and I don't know if Dr. Orr ever listens to us or not, but if you're in our situation here in Powell County, why not go ahead and set your start date for the 25th for students? Start on the 25th, regardless it be virtual or in person. At least you've got your start date out there. You know the kids are going to start on the 25th. If it's not going to be in class, it's going to be virtual for X amount of days, whatever it may be. But at least be ready, kids be ready, and the parents and teachers be ready that's what the plan is. But we haven't heard that information, I don't think, as of yet here, right?
No, at least at this point, I agree with you. I think that under the circumstance, everybody knows that the 25th of August is that start date.
Right.
I don't think you change that.
Right.
I think you maintain that, because I think now if you continue to push things back and delay, I think you just kind of create more confusion, maybe even anxiety or whatever else. Stick to that plan. Go with it, no matter if it's virtual or otherwise.
And that may be his plan. That
could be, yeah.
Totally may be the plan. Again, it's not out there for the public to know what that plan is, but to me, it would make sense if we start the 25th, we're going to start the 25th, whether it be virtual or in person. But I think that the word I've got so far is it looks like we want to start in person on the 25th. It hasn't really said anything about virtual, so therefore I'm just kind of making that my own conclusion.
Right.
But again, there has to be plans. Yes, I'm sure in his head he's got plans. He always, every time I've talked to him, he seems like he's a thinking person, so I'm sure he has alternate ways to go, because if you don't have alternate plans, you're not using your noggin, because as fluid as this COVID is, it could change in a change over
hours,
weekend.
Right? Yeah.
And, you know, with 2 weeks ago, people felt comfortable and the numbers went way up. Now we got a mask restriction. The numbers are plateauing, it looks like. But if we get comfortable again, we'll see another spike. And they've already predicted another spike in the fall, because when the flu season starts, they think more flu and or COVID. But if we wear masks like we're supposed to, that should even help the flu cases. So the mask thing is, I think it's here at least until probably February or March next year when the flu season's over. Because, that not only will help the COVID cases, it's going to help the flu cases and other stuff that's transmitted airborne. It's going to help all those factors.
I agree, and we continue to talk about this on this level each and every week, it seems, but it still goes back to, if I'm going in any store or I'm going out in public, yes, I believe in everyone's freedoms, everyone's rights to pick and choose or whatever else, you know, to wear the mask, not wear the mask. At the same time, you're only talking, if I'm going into any store, I'm not in there very long, because at this point, I've learned I'm going to get what I want
and go
and get out. Right. I'm not sitting there going up and down aisles or whatever it is. I've got a plan. I've got my list. I'm going. I'm getting it. I'm getting out. That inconvenience of that 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes is not that big a deal in order to protect yourself and others. Again, I get that everybody has a right to pick and choose, but at the same time, it's from not wearing those masks. Blatantly not wearing those masks, in a sense that not only you're putting yourself at risk, but then you're putting others at risk. We have no idea how many asymptomatic people are out there.
No.
No idea. So therefore, you could be one that's not wearing a mask and be asymptomatic, and all of a sudden you're infecting other people based on your choice, you know, even though it goes against what everyone else desires and or wishes. Like I said, I'm all for people's freedoms. But I'm going to inconvenience myself for that time that I'm in public and wear that mask. If anything, just out of respect for my fellow humans, right? You know, I love you enough that I'm going to inconvenience myself to wear the mask. And again, other people will say, oh, well, the government's infringing upon your rights and all that stuff. I get that state of mind. I get where people are coming from. But at the same time, you're still talking about a short amount of time throughout your day when you're truly in direct contact. Now, I'm not talking about people who are working in it every day and have to do that. I'm talking about just someone that's popping in someplace and popping out. It's not that big a deal.
No, it's you know, 5-10 minutes. And I think people have learned now to shop more efficiently. I think
Agreed.
People now go in with a plan of action on how we're going to attack the store, what groceries we're going to get. You've got a lot of people that are going out of town, like here in Staten. You're going out of town to Kroger because you can do it. Just you can pick it up when it's ready for you. I mean, you see a lot more of those convenience things happening, and you just wonder how long it would take folks here in Powell County to realize, like, let's get this click list going for Kroger and Staten, because, you know, if you want to keep your customers happy, offer them something that keeps them happier, you know. And again, I think that's just something that stores need to do. And stores are ones that haven't really got hit by this terribly hard because they've stayed open. They've stayed in business, and their businesses have been pretty solid. So, you know, the restaurants have been hit pretty hard when they get to shut back down now or reduce their
back to 25%. Well, not back, but down to 25%.
Right. Well, they're back open, but they're only at 25% from 50. Has to be a reduction. You know, your waitresses aren't getting the tips that they would normally get. And again, these waitresses aren't making much money. They're just baking on tips.
No, they make like $2.13 an hour still. So, my sister, when she did it, made like $2.03, and that was like 30 years ago or something.
But if
crazy.
Your tips are good, it's good money. But you're down 25%. You can't expect great tips.
Yeah, you can't make it.
But, you know, I heard Governor talk about it yesterday or day before. At least restaurants have expanded their availability of seating going outside. Now, how much availability of seating you have in a local restaurant here in the town, I don't know. But if that helps your uptick in number of in-house customers that you can have, that's a good thing. But again, a lot of the restaurants we have here are drive-through, carry-out, take-out. Those have been just, they haven't slowed down at all.
No, you're right, which is kind of interesting because on one hand, like, I feel like they're more backed up now in the drive-through lines than ever, which well, hopefully is a good thing for them as a business.
As a business, it's good for them. But as a, obviously, as a, I think if you look at this, if we look at these 6 months next year and we say, okay, was there a weight gain? Did we stay the same or do we lose weight? Well, I'm thinking we're going to pick up some pounds during the shutdown because I think the activity level has gone down. The stops to fast food restaurants has gone up and the healthy eating has not been happening. That's my prediction for what we're going to see next year. And that's, those are trends that are kind of hard to break and you got to be careful with what you're doing. You know, obviously you got to get out and be more active, do more things around the house. Maybe if you are stuck at home, but you know, when you have friends, and I'm way behind on a break, but we'll get one in a minute. But when you have friends now that you know that are tested positive for COVID and you've seen these friends that, have been quarantined now for up to 2 weeks and are still testing negative, or I'm sorry, still testing positive, you know, and I'm not saying they didn't wear a mask before, but 10 minutes or 15 minutes of wearing a mask every day versus staying at home and being quarantined for 2+ weeks or more. And that's a restriction. The mask is just a little bit of a, you know, nothing.
Plus, what is somebody going through health-related wise that has tested positive? And obviously, it's affecting different people in different ways. So therefore, whether it's the breathing, whether it's the temperature, it's irrelevant. Anytime anybody's sick, I don't care what the sickness is, you have to have empathy for them.
Yes.
You know, and nobody wants anybody in that situation. And even kid-wise, you know, we have a new pediatric case here in the county, and we'll talk about those things when we come back from the break. But still, it's still unfortunate where we are.
Got to be safe out there. We got a little bit off track on our what we normally do, but that's okay. Kind of keep you all guessing what we're going to do here next. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment with the actual COVID update as far as the numbers go here in just a minute on PCSN Live.
How about Powell County Sports Network?
That's it. Powell County Sports Network with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
It's summer clearance time going on now at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton. Get the best deals of the year right now. From the economical 2020 Jeep Renegade to the most awarded SUV in the country, the 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee, the deals have never been better. Rebates up to $6,000 on Jeep products and, as always, the best atmosphere to buy a new car. The no-hassle sales staff and exceptional service team. Make now the time to buy. Don't forget that rates are as low as 0%. Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram just off the Mountain Parkway exit 22 in Stanton.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like Phone Smart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Appalachian Wireless has a question for you. Would you rather pay $650 or $66 for a smartphone? If you think this answer is simple, then the Appalachian Advantage Plan is for you. Pay less upfront for today's hottest smartphones, and then pay just a few dollars more every month on the monthly bill. Many smartphones are $5 a month or less after you factor in the $20 discount from the Advantage Plan compared to the contract offering. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless. Payment agreement required. See store for details.
The emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin is faster, closer, and better. When an emergency strikes, we are right down the street and ready to help. We offer full-service emergency care,
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is an accredited chest pain center and level 4 trauma center. You can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. Choose the emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine. Faster, closer, better.
And welcome back to Powell County Sports Network with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9. And now we're going to go to Ken with some COVID updates from today.
So on one hand, some good news. The numbers are down from yesterday compared to today. Yesterday it was over 700. Today, number of cases is 546. That brings the total cases here in the state to 32,741. One new death, unfortunately, to report. That brings the total to 752 total deaths overall. When you look at the test, you know, there's different types of tests that they're actually doing. So there's the PCR test, there's the serology test, and then there's the antigen test. So when you look at the 663,000 who have been tested, most of those are the PCR test. And, you know, unfortunately, it goes, you know, the cotton swab, in a sense, you know, is going up your nose. Apparently, they have one now that they can do a throat swab, you know, which maybe is a little bit less invasive under those circumstances. But still, testing is still available. You can go to Kentucky River Foothills, the clinic down there, or Clay City Family Health. Those are two places that where you can actually still get tested. So, you know, if you want to get tested, see if you're asymptomatic, see if you've had it, et cetera. You know, those are the places that you can go. What's interesting, too, to me is that a majority of the cases, now this is statewide, a majority of those cases are people over 80. The next highest group is the people over 70. So, then the next group is 60 and above. So still, a majority of the, let me back up.
Fatalities,
yes. A majority of those fatalities are, you know, the older people. And obviously, health compromised in many respects under those circumstances. But still, that doesn't necessarily mean that it can't affect younger people. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, there's one new pediatric case here in the county, and we'll get to that. But based on race, you know, 80%, almost, the cases are, Caucasian. Of course, our, you know, African American black community, we don't have nearly as many in a sense as far as, but they're still at, 12%. So when you're looking at the two main populations, obviously, you know, that's a big part of it. And then, Hispanic community is kind of hit fairly hard too as far as their population numbers. We have the positivity rate of 5.51. It's down from a week ago from what we had. Last week we were 5.81. So the positivity,
the highest positive rate we had was last week at 5.81.
Right. So it's still down some, you know, not nearly where we need it to be, but again, I get that more people are being tested. Obviously, the cases continue to fluctuate under those circumstances. Here in Powell County, the case count is 50 total that we've had from the beginning. The good news, only 12 are active, 38 have recovered, even though we have the one new pediatric case, and that's actually our fourth pediatric case. But still, we've seen those numbers, active cases, up around that, you know, in the 20 mark. So the fact that our active cases are actually lower than what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, that's a nice sign, even though, again, the numbers are still way too high. One is still one too many.
Yeah, now last week, I think our number of growth, and we go Wednesday to Wednesday, but last Wednesday, our number was 11. This, as of today, our number is only 10. So we've gone down, but we're talking about 21 of our 50 cases have been the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
And we started this back in March.
Right.
So, to me, we are still in a, and for Powell County size, that to me is a little worrisome. because if that number is going to stay the same or maybe even go up next week, that's concerning. And what you mentioned earlier, a lot of times you go out here and a lot of more folks are less concerned or seem to be less concerned because of not wearing their facial coverings. I can see the number going up here until people kind of get slapped in the face with this thing.
And or some, correct, and someone has a loved one or a friend or somebody that they know that's affected by this, and at that point it almost makes it a little bit more real. But I also think the mentality is, well, we're in a small rural community.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's not as bad as Jefferson or Fayette. Agreed, but the positivity rate is still about the same here as it is there. Even though we have smaller population size,
we're testing less.
Yeah, we're still kind of on that same level as far as a positivity rate. So, again.
And, you know, when you talk about the test number, and I don't know how they count this. I know they talk about, I'd like to have somebody answer this question for us. And maybe we need to get maybe Stacey Crace on the line next week. But if you've tested positive for the virus and you come back in for a retest to see if you're still positive, does that count as another test, or does that just count as a test for that person? Do you see where I'm?
I do. I almost think that it counts as another test. I think. Now again, I have no idea. Again, we need a medical professional.
My thing is, if you're somebody's listening, call us 2811. But my thinking is, like, if the friend of mine that has COVID still testing positive, let's say he's tested twice, well, that should be three positive tests, but it's really only one positive test. I don't think all those tests would be counted as a positive. You see where I'm going with this? If all the positive tests have to be counted, let's say, to get back to work, you got to be maybe test negative twice, for example. So to be able to get tested negative, you have to go test. So I just think it seems to me maybe it follows one person, and it's one test. I don't know. But I don't know how to count. Like I said, maybe I'll give Stacey a call and see if we can iron that one out. That'd be an interesting fact for a lot of you conspiracy theorists out there if you're saying, okay, the number's going up because of the same people. I don't want you to think that. That's not what I think is happening. But, again, I don't know that information either. So that'd be maybe some good answers for us to get unless somebody knows they want us to call in.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think under those circumstances, it's still one case.
Right.
Right? It doesn't matter. I'm still just me.
Correct.
Right? No matter how many times something would occur, it's still just me. It's still the same case.
Yeah,
right?
In theory, I guess if you tested 50 times for one person, they tested positive every time, that's 50 tests positive. That's not what we're seeing. So don't mistake what I'm saying for accurate. I'm just saying people will, there are some people out there I think will believe that. And I don't think that's the case. So,
well, there's probable cases as well.
Correct.
Now, the probable cases are included in the overall cases, but there is more of a likelihood based on tracing, right?
Correct.
If all of a sudden someone in your household has it and they've tested positive, you're probable until you get tested,
yes.
And then we can figure that out. So even though you're included in that, you're either going to be taken off or you're going to be added in to...
But we don't see a lot of the takeoff numbers when we hear the updates.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So most of those really don't ever get taken off there that we see. We see the doubles or multiple tests, and they get thrown out or whatever of the final count. I think that's what they're doing on these multiple tests per person. So, but again, maybe somebody next week we can get that clarified and have that answer for you guys out there who are worried about how tests are counted. But again, we're going to take another break here on Powell County Sports Network with David Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
When a health crisis threatened our community, the healthcare heroes at Clark Regional Medical Center answered the call. As we move forward, life might look different, including healthcare, but there's one thing that won't change: the quality of care you've always relied on at Clark Regional Medical Center. We are again offering a range of healthcare services, from preventive screenings and physicals to quality of life procedures, to help you make the most of every moment moving forward. Our entire team is working hard to ensure a safe place of care and a healthier community for all of us. For more information, visit clarkregional.org.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
Welcome back. Again, we got more questions and we got answers for you. But again, like I said, next week, maybe we can have some of the medical folks on here to answer some of the questions that maybe you have, maybe we have. And if we have them, I'm sure you have them too. So again, nobody's calling in with the answers that we were asking. So we'll just kind of go from there. But we are seeing a rise in cases to me in Powell County with the numbers that we're seeing. I still don't think we're testing a whole lot here. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have those numbers, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
To see how many actually here in the county have been tested.
They're probably on the Powell County Health Department web.
No, it just...
Are they not in the
count? Not the number of tested.
Okay.
It just lists the number of cases and then those that are active and those that have recovered, but it doesn't necessarily state how many have been tested.
And I wonder even how hard that would be even to count because of folks going out of town to get tested.
Right.
Because I know a friend of mine went out of town to Winchester for a 20-minute test where you take the test and in 20 minutes you get your result. That's pretty nice. You know, it's better than what we saw, 2 months ago, whenever it's 2 weeks before you get a result back.
Yeah.
And you can't contact trace. You can't do the follow-ups. You can't know what you need to do if you have a lag time of 2 weeks. But now they've got it down to 20 minutes and some test sites. I won't say all, but in some test sites, 20 minutes, you wait in your car, you get your results, and you're good to go. Or you find out you're negative, and you know where to go. So those are the kinds of tests that we need and we need going on, and I think probably those would happen here locally as well, unless they take a couple of days. I don't know what the local time is. Again, these are all questions, and maybe we can have another guest next week that can answer some of these questions for us. You know, when you look at, we'll change gears a little bit. The SEC came out with a plan to, I think, only play conference games, right?
Correct. 10, a limit of 10.
10. And I don't know if you play 10 in conference games or if you are allowed to play it out of conference. I guess it's just conference schedule.
It is, and now they're trying to
put in your bowl game, right?
Correct. Now they're trying to figure out the scheduling of that, because obviously if, let's say, UK as the example is going to play, you know, Tulsa or something, or Central Michigan, well, at that point now they're off the table, but now I've got to find somebody
to replace that.
To replace that.
In your conference.
Correct. So therefore, that whole scheduling thing is, so who knows who Kentucky would even potentially play.
To me, the logical thing to do is you play everybody in your conference.
Still,
which
correct.
Which is the East.
Right.
And you select three or four of the West.
You were already playing a couple out of the West anyway.
Correct. So you just add of a couple of the Western, but you wouldn't play all the Western Conference teams. But that would get you to your 10. But if you pick the four weakest, that bodes to your schedule on whether or not your winnable game. You know, you'd hate to get stuck with LSU, Alabama.
the upper echelon
with those
in a
two,
sense, right.
Again, we don't. I haven't seen the breakdown of how they're going to do the scheduling. I think they're kind of working on that because somebody's going to have an advantage. I promise you that. when it all comes down to the scheduling, and that's the case, because again, if you're in the East, you play everybody in the East once, then you have to pick three or four out of the West to go play, then go play them. But you know, like I said, you don't want to necessarily play Alabama and LSU if you're an Eastern team. If you can avoid it, that's a good avoid. If you're me, you know, just like if you're in the West, you probably want to stay away from Georgia and Florida. That's just kind of common sense. You know, if you could avoid those teams, then don't play them.
Yeah, and having not seen the schedule, I'm not sure who Kentucky had out of the West this year in general anyway.
Right. It seems like we play LSU every year. And that can't be right, because that's a pretty tough conference schedule if you do play them every year. And somebody's probably not scheduling it very well at UK, but it's probably not the case. It just seems like they play them every year. But again, that's on a normal schedule where you play everybody in the East and then play a couple of Western opponents and then pick up probably four out-of-conference games. Now you got to scale that back to 10. And we've seen other conferences do the same thing, and we've seen some conferences cancel their season.
Yeah, Division II and Division III have.
Even Division I schools have even canceled. Like, the Ivy League is not playing.
Right. Now, Division II and Division III, they've actually decided that they are not going to play their championships. I'm trying to think here. Some of them actually could actually play their regular season if they wanted to, if they chose to actually do that. And these particular schools, that affects Berea, Transy, Spalding University, and Center College. So those are Division II schools. So they've already postponed their fall sports. That's not necessarily going to happen for them. When you get to Division II, they said that you can play your regular season. There's just not going to be any championships. And that's kind of up to you how you want to handle your regular season.
Well, to me, if you're playing in the SEC and you are having to schedule some West opponents, and if I get an easy schedule and you get a hard schedule, that's just so be it. But to me, I don't know how you could wait it to make it an even schedule, but that may play into their thinking on why you don't have the postseason tournament. Because you can't make a schedule that is fair for all schools. Because you would have the problem where, okay, some people have to play LSU and Alabama, for an example, and two others may have to play two not-so-strong teams. So if that's the case, obviously the scheduling would reward the team that's not playing the toughest schedule, and they could go further. And that's not quite a fair statement. So I can see where they throw out conference tournament play or whatever in football, and you know, if we're already doing that for football at this point in the season, it's kind of alarming that we're looking at already possibly postponing those seasons at the college level, because again, that's a lot of the revenue. That's a big revenue sport for these schools, and whether you're scholarship athlete or you're not, like the D2, D3 schools, but it is kind of a thing to throw out there that this is the move they're making. You got to be a little bit more careful. And, you know, we're going to talk about Major League Baseball in a moment, but right now, just talk about college athletics. You know, I know UK is doing, 30,000 tests for their students. You know you're going to see a little bit of a spike when those cases start rolling into UK. But the question I heard today is, what are you going to do with these 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids that are coming to campus and they tested? How do you control what they do? And, you know, we could all, if that's their bubble, UK's campus, can't go off campus. For an example, can't go to any restaurant, can't go to bars, can't do it, stay on campus. They're not going to abide by those little rules. I don't think.
No, not as college kids that are, you know, especially your freshmen and students like that, all of a sudden they get a taste of freedom.
And I'm
sometimes
out.
It can be overwhelming for them. It's too much freedom to be given. Yeah, at that point, I'm already doing it. And, you know, it's kind of funny because that at U of L, they've canceled some of their fall sports based on COVID. So the, let me look here, the volleyball team, the field hockey team, the men's and women's soccer teams, 29 members from those four teams tested positive after an off-campus party. College students, right, off-campus party, hey, let's go. Then at that point, now all of a sudden, because you chose to go, potentially affected health-wise based on that, but at the same time, now all of a sudden your season has been postponed, and who knows how long, whether it's 2 weeks or otherwise, at least at this point, but because you chose to make that decision and let's go party, now all of a sudden it's affecting your athletics.
I like the fact that it held those specific kids accountable. If you went out and did something you weren't supposed to do or shouldn't have done based on COVID, and you come back and you test positive and you lose your season because of it, what is your fault? You're part of the blame. I'm not saying they were punished because of it, but that's probably who deserved the punishment. You know, you didn't want to cancel the football season if no football players tested positive. Just like if a football player tests positive, volleyball team shouldn't lose their season.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but if your kids are going to go out and take the risk, then there needs to be a penalty for that. And I think it's not necessarily a penalty, but to me, it kind of Louisville's on the right track as far as, okay, we're going to eliminate these for right now until we get a handle on it.
But that's where it goes back to making the smart choices, right?
It's about going out and making mature decisions. And whew, and between 18 to 22, I'm not sure how many mature decisions are ever made out there, those age groups. When your first taste of freedom, you're out on your own, you can do what you want.
And or you've been cooped up at home,
for months on end,
and now I've got a chance to get back on campus and see my friends and everything. Yeah. And what are you doing? It's like, woohoo, you've kind of forget.
Well, if we get these kids back on campuses, and I'm not knocking the kids, and I'm not knocking college, but if we get all these kids back to campus, and we even test them, again, it may not matter because they may get a false sense of security there. But if you start getting out and doing some things, Kentucky's going to see the United States is going to see a spike come September. Because of college kids back on campus doing what college kids do.
And potentially once school in general starts, right,
this
point.
Well, I mean, there's normally a two-week lag time, they say, between, let's start school, you'll see cases in 2 weeks. If that's the case, if we start school August the 15th, September 1st could be some starts of some upticks in cases. So I would be real leery. You know, you got school starting, regular schools, end of August. College is starting between next week and the week after next. If they're doing in-class classes. But even if those kids that are living on campus that are not in class, you're still taking risks because you're out in the community. So I just really think when you see the start of schools, and I'm talking about universities and public schools, you're going to see an uptick in cases, and you're going to see I really think you'll see a spike, and which means only one thing. Those of you who want back in school need to watch what you're doing, be responsible. But if that's the case, if we do have a big spike, what's coming next?
September is going to be a huge key month as far as where everyone goes forward.
And if you are worried about getting the season in, you're going to lose it if people aren't responsible through that time frame. So talk to your friends, talk to your buddies. If you want to have your senior season in high school, if you want to have your freshman season in college, you got to be responsible about your actions and let it play its course out. If not, you're going to see a spike in September and you're going to see a shutdown just like we had in March.
Yeah, and let me say this real quick. Wearing the mask does not stop you from getting it necessarily, no. Right?
Well, they say it's better if you have it on.
Better, correct, but it does not stop you. So, I mean, you could still wear the mask and you could still get it, but you're still doing your part in order to prevent that from happening to others and or yourself. So, again, it's just a safety precaution. It's no different than washing your hands, right? Why do we wash our hands? Oh, to keep from spreading germs. It's no different than wearing the mask. Again, you can still get germs by not, you know, by washing your hands, in a sense, depending on what you touch and what you've been around. It's still just a precautionary step to take, and obviously everybody needs to be doing their part on all fronts in order to make sure that we do have school, we do have sports.
Yes.
Nobody'd love anything more than to be out watching kids, and you know, whether it's, you know, college or high school, playing the sports that they love to entertain us and to cheer them on. And the last thing I would want to do is to be responsible in a sense of not allowing that to happen, but not doing my part.
Yeah, I don't like to be negative on here when I come on and say I think this is going to happen, but we've said it before and it's happened later. Not that we're great predictors of outcome, but we are good predictors, I think, of what human nature is. And anybody can predict that. It's not like we're sitting here as geniuses or anything, but you know, if you've got a massive amount of kids going back to one building, that's a problem, regardless if it's you're masked or you're not masked.
Right.
It's just going to be an issue. So all the elements of, like, we talk about Labor Day, we talk about Memorial Day, we talk about July 4th holidays, the times where people come together for group outings, well, that's only a small group outing compared to when school starts, because that is a large group of folks inside a building for 6 to 8 hours a day. That can be very problematic if not handled properly. And I think all schools will do their best that they can, but you're still going to see cases. I think pretty much everybody that's already started back in the other states have seen big spikes and they've already shut down. So if that's a predictor, then again, what I say about history, thing it repeats itself.
It can.
You just got to kind of watch others and see how it goes. And again, you're getting a good prediction there. Take a little break here on Pike County Sports Network here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full-service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Rose's Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for Steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
Sorry about that, I was talking off the air. But anyway, welcome back. We're going to talk a little bit about Major League Baseball and what's going on there. Again, the commissioner is in a little bit of a pickle because you've seen a rise in cases with your team, the St. Louis Cardinals. I think 13 cases with their traveling party is what they're calling it now. 7 players, 6 coaches or
staff,
if you will. So there's a problem with Major League Baseball. You've seen outbreaks with the Marlins now and now the Cardinals, the two MLB teams, and again, pressure from the commissioner's office. What are you going to do? You're going to shut everything down? And he's saying no, but he's also saying players are being very irresponsible. And there's a new mandate. I saw this a while ago. It looks like major league players are now going to have some different rules about face coverings. I think there are. You know, you can sometimes you look in a dugout and you'll see players not masked, and you'll see other players with their mask. I think now, it said earlier, all batting practice, pregame workouts, you have to stay masked. So that's probably going to tell me at some point they're going to tell the players, if you're in a dugout, you have to wear your mask, because you are seeing these outbreaks. If you can keep it under control, you know, that may be not so big of an issue. I watched the Reds for about 10 minutes because we can't get them because we're blacked out here. But I saw Eugenio Suarez. He's been the only player I've seen actually in the field that sometimes wears a mask. And when he's coming off the field and they're congratulating each other if they win a game, he has his mask already on. Other players don't. And most teams don't. But like if they're coming off the bench, a lot of those guys are wearing their face coverings. But, you know, when you're out in the field, you're not coming that close in contact. You are in the dugout. You probably should keep your mask on. You know, I think all coaches and staff members must wear their mask during games. I think players is kind of optional, probably because of the Major League Players Union. But I think this mandate coming down will probably help the numbers of cases on the outbreak. But your question, before we came in tonight, I asked you about the Cardinals, and your question was how they're going to make up all these games.
Yeah, right. I mean, at this point, believe it or not, they're actually sitting in, like, you know, third place, which is kind of interesting considering that they've only played five games.
They're probably percentage points behind or ahead of the Reds.
Tied.
Okay.
So the Reds have played 11 games. Yeah. They're 5-6, four games behind the Cubs, and the Cardinals have only played five games, 2-3 on the season, four games behind the Cubs.
Yeah.
So how do you go back and make up the six games or however? I can't even keep up anymore. I just know it's enough.
They missed the series this weekend. They missed part of the series. They missed about six already. And now they're getting ready to lose this series with the Tigers. So that's nine games. Now, MLB came up with this thing. You've got two pods of players. Your active pod and your backup pod. Well, you can now pull players from your pod, but the Cardinals have to figure out how many players can we go with that are negative and bring up the players from the pod. Marlins are in the same predicament. They're going to have to, and they've actually signed some free agents that are outside the pod to bring them into their team on their active roster to go and play their games. Now, if they play a doubleheader, the Cincinnati Reds did the first Major League doubleheader played as 7-inning games. And theirs was a rain out makeup game. So the Reds haven't lost a game due to COVID. They've lost games with players out who had COVID-like symptoms but tested negative for the virus. Now, to me, they self-reported and kept playing and lost games. The Cardinals reported, lost games as far as being played, but haven't lost any games.
Right, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, because if I've only played five games and you played 11 and we're both still just four games back, something's not right with that math.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying the Reds and the players are supposed to self-report if they have symptoms.
Sure.
The Reds have had zero positive tests since spring training, but the Cardinals have seven positive cases tested and haven't lost a game because they haven't played any since they tested positive. But my thing is, you know, the Reds got hurt because players had to sit out and be put on an injured list because they took themselves out of the lineup pretty much because they had symptoms and were tested negative. So now the Cardinals, their players may be back by the time this postponement is over. You know,
And what I don't understand either is that, okay, so those players tested positive for the Cardinals. Move those to the side. Why am I not pulling in my reserves,
players.
Right, and still having those games played?
Well, I think you have to figure out now, and I think they're probably going about this the right way with baseball, giving it like a 3-day window for all players, multiple tests, make sure that we've got all the positive cases, isolate all players, test them all three or four times, come back and say, okay, we've got this group of 14 players ready to go. Now we add to our 30-man roster, we add 16 pod players. I'm just throwing these numbers out as makeup numbers. But that's what the perfect world would be. And then you resume play. But man, there's no punishment here, but what you go through is you're playing that schedule with a reduced lineup. And that could be very painful to the record. But like I said, as of right now, the Cardinals haven't got hurt because they haven't had to play any games of yet. But it will catch them soon based on who's out, when they're out, because now they're going to have a bunch of 7-inning games. If they've got a good starting rotation, it could be in their advantage. So it's just a weird setup.
But then how do you even go back and let's say that the Cardinals do have a doubleheader and let's just say that they win both, at what point do you calculate that against the Cubs, who are in first place? Meaning, well, if the Cubs lost a game and I win a game, well, I pick up a game. So how do I make up ground being the four games back when all of a sudden you win, I win, and even though I've caught up game-wise now, maybe I'm still in the same four games back?
Well, you would stay the same back if you win and win, but you're going to have to catch up those games that missed. So the 6 to 7, 8 games they're missing are going to have to be played as doubleheaders at some point. Now, that, to me, is a strain on your team, because now you're putting that kids out there. Well, not kids. These are men. You're putting guys out there that are playing 7-8 games back-to-back multiple times. That'll get a little tiring. But when you were young, that was fun. So they may actually enjoy 2 7-inning games on a Saturday versus a 9-inning game on Friday night, 9-inning game on Saturday. We got 2 on Saturday. Or play 3 doubleheaders back-to-back. That would be brutal on a rotation, but you're only playing 7 innings, so there is some recourse for that. But you just wouldn't want to play 6 games in 3 days, because you'd have to bring up 5 different starters to be able to
even compete.
7 innings to be able to compete. So it's the unfair balance, or the unfair whatever it is, will make the difference there. Got another break to take. We're going to come back with a little bit more here on PCSN Live, but we'll be back with you here in just a second after this break on PCSN Live on WSKV 104.9 FM.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from ProTech Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call ProTech Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Again, we got a couple minutes left. Got behind on the first break. That's my fault. But again, we've got a lot of issues going on with professional sports. You see spikes in teams. The NBA has the pod going on. We're all staying confined, and they're small rosters, so they can probably control that a little bit better than you can baseball. You control baseball better than you can football. Football is more of a contact sport, and so is basketball. So, to me, baseball is the safest sport that you can probably play, and we've seen big outbreaks.
Well, on one hand, though, I would almost beg to differ in a sense in saying that what the NBA is doing is better, because...
No, I think that what they're doing is better, but I think it's easier to control a smaller group of people.
True. I mean, at least at this point, they're all in Orlando. They're all, they're playing in the same gym, their times are spaced out or whatever else. And today, when they did their round of testing, no one came back positive, which is a good thing. So the NBA kind of, carries on in a sense, because once someone comes down, in a sense, now what does the NBA do at that point where everybody is kind of so in such close quarters?
Theoretically, the NBA should have 0 positive cases throughout their season.
Exactly. Should. If everybody does what they're supposed to do,
There should be positive cases.
There shouldn't be. You're exactly right.
So if everybody goes in the pod and stays in the pod, doesn't ever come out, and I think if you go out of the pod, I think there's a 14-day wait time before you get back in the pod. Am I right?
I believe that's true. Yeah.
So the NBA does have some good parameters on who can play, who can't, and if you, like I said, if you leave that pod, you've got some problems getting back in. But again, we're seeing more players now, like in baseball, decide to not finish the season. And I think a lot of people may be seeing the writing on the wall. Like, I don't think we can finish this season because it's not going to be fair. You know, we talked about this off the air, you know, to make up 8 or 9 games and you only had limited days to play them, man, that is a scheduling nightmare, travel nightmare, whatever it is. But there's so many problems with that. We'll see how it goes. You know, golf, the PGA is coming up tomorrow with the move of the tournament. So, you know, golf, it seems like it's doing fairly well, except they've had their players with that's tested positive, and they go sit out and until they get a couple negative tests and they come back. But even caddies included, it's all the same. So, again, we've got a long way to go, but the main thing is wear the mask, wash your hands, keep your distance.
Stay safe.
Do those things that we need to do, and we may all get to watch a game this fall. But if we don't, we may all get to sit at home and do what we've been doing for the last 5 or 6 months and doing very little. Again, join us next week on PCSN Live. Again, maybe we'll have somebody from the health department or somebody on here that can give us some answers to some testing questions. But again, thanks for listening to PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening.